Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Makos Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous Shiur, toward the end of Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan mentioned that the Chiyuv on Achilas Meiser Sheni Chutz L'Choma, the eating of the Meiser Sheni tithe outside the walls of Yerushalayim, the Chiyuv, namely the Malkos, the lashes that one would receive, that is only in the event that the Meiser Sheni tithe was brought into the city. The Loshon of the Gemara was Mishero Pnei HaChoyma, it was brought within the walls, and then taken out, then removed from the city of Yerushalayim, to outside, and upon eating it under those circumstances outside Yerushalayim, there's a chiyuv. This is as opposed to the thought that there would be a chiyuv, would be guilt for eating the Meiser Sheni even before it was ever brought to Yerushalayim. On this point, we start the Gemara at the third line from the bottom of Yud Tes Amud Beis with a question. We have a long question marking that you can see is illustrated by the kuf that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a dashed vertical line that continues to the top of Daf Chof, indicating that this is a long question. All of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this dashed vertical line are part of the question. As we go on in the Gemara itself, we've circled Rav Yossi's name, and we've also added a trapezoid volcano shape around two words, Kohen and Zar. The word Zar will appear at the top of Chof Amud Aleph. From the following question, we will see that there is guilt. There is a chiyuv of achilas meiser sheni even if lo ra'a pnei choyma. Let us now begin the question. Meisvei, Rabbi Yosi Omer, Kohen she'olso biyodo te'eno shel tevel, a Kohen that chanced upon a fig that was untithed. Omar, he should say, te'eno zu, this particular te'eno, now he's going to declare the different tithes that need to be taken. At the end of this tithing process, there will remain a problem which will be featured later. So he says, Te'inazu, this fig, trumasa ba'uktsa. The truma tithe should be at the oketz, sometimes the tip of the truma, the stem of the fig. Meiser rishon betzfona, the meiser rishon he declares verbally shall be in the northern part of the fig, umeiser sheni lidroma, and the tenth that represents the meiser sheni tithe shall be in the southern part of the fig. Vihishnas Meiser Sheni, Vihu Biushalayim, and this is assuming that we're talking about a Meiser Sheni year, the years of the sabbatical cycle, the Shemitah cycle, are divided as follows, that the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of that cycle are Meiser Sheni years, the third and sixth year of that cycle are not Meiser Sheni, but rather Meiser Ani. So, assuming that it's a Meiser Sheni year, he declares it to be in the southern part of the fig, Vehu b'Yerushalayim, and we're talking about a case where he is in Yerushalayim when he was declaring these shemos, when he was declaring these tithes on this particular fig. Oi Meiser Oni, Vehu b'Gvulin, or we may be talking about the third or sixth year, and he is declaring in the southern part of the fig the Meiser Oni tithe. Ochla, Loike, Achas. Up till now, we've been discussing a Kohen. If a Kohen were to eat this fig, based on the tithing that we heard just now, there would still be a problem, and hence grounds for lashing, because there was no declaration of the Trumas Meiser that's contained within the Meiser Rishon. Meiser Rishon is a tenth of the produce that goes to the Levi. The Levi, upon receiving it, he is expected to tithe one-tenth of that. In other words, a tenth of the tenth, which is called Trumas Meiser, and that's given to a Kohen. In this story, in this case, we did not see any declaration concerning the tithing of the Trumas Meiser. Therefore, the Shem Tevel, the category of Tevel, remains upon this particular fig, and that's grounds for receiving lashing. Vizar Shochlo Loike Shtayim, the Zar, a non-Kohen that would eat this fig, he would be guilty of two averis, namely the Trumas Meiser that's contained in this, which is fit only for a Kohen, and the Shem Tevel that is upon this, the Tevel being the untithed status that this still possesses. She'ilu b'tchila achla eino loika ela achas. If there had been no Kriyas Shem, then if there had been no declaration, then there wouldn't have been any mention of Truma either. So let's just back up for 1 second. When we mentioned the Zar Sha'ochla Loike Shtayim, he's Loike twice, two lashings. One, because of the Shem Tevel. As we mentioned, the Truma Smicer had not been removed from this. And also, this fig contained the Truma tithe. And Truma is unfit for a Zar to eat. That's as opposed to the Kohen, that the Truma is for him to eat. But there had been the singular problem of the Truma Smicer creating the Shem Tevel, and that was why at the top of this Omid it said Loika Achas. That's as far as the Kayin. And here the Bryce is pointing out Shilu B'tchila Ochlo, had the Tsar eaten this fig without any declarations, Eino Loika Achas, he would have received one set of lashes because of the Shem Tevel, the category of it being considered Tevel alone. Now we turn our attention more to the heart of our question. Why are we saying that there's no malkos for the Meiser Sheni consumption? Taimo, the Isei B'Yerushalayim, the reason that there's no malkos also for the Meiser Sheni is because this story is taking place in Yerushalayim. That's the place where the Meiser Sheni should be. Ha Begvulin Loike Shalosh. However, had this story taken place outside of Yerushalayim, there would have been an additional set of malkos for the Tsar. He would have been lashed three, not only for the Truma and the Tevel, but also for the Meiser Sheni that he was eating outside of Yerushalayim. V'afagav delav roya p'nei choyma. And the assumption here, and this is the heart of the question, even though it was never brought into Yerushalayim, there would have been lashes for the Meiser Sheni consumption outside of Yerushalayim. The Gemara rejects this question and says, the Aili V'afki, the case that would have resulted in additional lashes for the Meiser Sheni is because it had been brought in to Yerushalayim and subsequently taken out, just like Rabbi Yochanan said earlier. Ihachi, if that is the circumstance of this particular source, Maila Meimra, then that would be obvious. There would be no Chiddush in that. Rashi elaborates on the question of Maila Meimra. Let's look at the Rashi together. Ihochi Maila Meimra. The Bishlamo Iamris Meiser Sheni Begvulin Loika Shalosh, Afagav de Lo Chozapene Choma. If you would set up the case like we did in the question form, namely that there would be a set of lashes because of the Meiser Sheni being eaten Begvulin outside Yerushalayim, even though it never was brought in, Ashmin and Tuva, that contains within it a lot of new information. The Chayovin Olav Afapisha Lo Ra Pene Choma. That there is guilt even without it having ever been brought in, the Itzrich L'Misnei, and this would need to be taught, Mishum Diyuka Didei, this source would need to be taught because of the inference that we drew from it, namely, Ha Begvulin. The inference was, the Diyuk was, this is talking about Yerushalayim, had it been Gvulin, then there would be an additional set of lashes. Elo iamris debaile b'afke. If, however, you're going to say that this source is talking about that it was brought in and subsequently taken out, ma'ila meimra. What need is there for that to be taught? Lo hi itzdericha falav diyuka dida. I don't need it to be taught, nor the inference from it to be taught. Dhapshita. That the source under those circumstances would have been obvious. Dafilu kain loika al hatevel. Vizar al hatruma vial meiser sheni chutz lachoma. those points would have been obvious. The Gemara answers that we, in fact, are talking about a case of Aili V'Afki, that it was brought in and taken out. And if your question is, well, then that seems to be obvious. What Chiddush is being taught in this source? Hocho b'mayaskinon. Here, what are we dealing with? Kagoin v'ailinu b'tivlayu. He brought the fig into Yerushalayim in its tevel state. It was brought in to Yerushalayim. It was koltu ha-mechitzos. Based on future tithing, because Sovar, and the opinion here says matonos shelohurmu, tithes, the literally the gifts, but the tithes that have not been physically separated, kemi shehurmu damyan, they're viewed as if they're already separated, and as a result of that, the mechitzos are koltuhu, the Meiser Sheni specifically has its name Meiser Sheni, has its shame Meiser Sheni, is categorized as Meiser Sheni, even though it has not been physically separated as such. Let's take a look at the Rashi. The Ailo B'Tivlo Lahi Te'eno B'Yerushalayim. It was brought into Yerushalayim as Tevel, as untithed produce, the koltuhu mechitzos lemaiser sheni haosid litrom mimena. The walls are said to absorb it and categorize it as being in Yerushalayim, as maiser sheni in Yerushalayim, even though it hasn't been physically separated. Because savar matonos shelohurmu kamisha hurmu damyon. V'domi kemanda ayil maiser sheni b'enei. Rashi goes on to say, and it's as if he brought in maiser sheni. B'enei means as already separated, isolated, separated, Meiser Sheni. Tahavi le roa p'nei ha-choymo, and therefore it's considered as if it was roya p'nei chamo, v'hilkoch ki afka, therefore when he takes it out, loike alov. U'kagoin ta'afka nami b'tivlan. I believe that this point in Rashi is critical, and we're talking about a case where he took it out of Yushan also, in its tevel state, namely in its untithed state. So the chiddush of this source is that by bringing it in to Yerushalayim in an untithed state, and then bringing it out of Yerushalayim still untithed, the shame Meiser Sheni takes hold, and it's therefore considered Meiser Sheni that had been brought into Yerushalayim. The Gemara now raises a long question. Once again, you can see the long question marking by the encircled kuf to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. V'sovar Rabbi Yosi, is it so that Rabbi Yosi holds matanos shelohurmu kamisha hurmu dami, that the tithes that have not been separated are viewed as if they are separated? V'hatanya. But we have the following source. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Yosi. And notice we've dashed, underlined Rabbi Yossi's name. Lo nechleku beishama beishilo al peros shelo nigmaro malachton v'yavru b'yushalayim shiyifte maiser sheni shelohem v'yoychal b'chol mokom. There is no argument between beishama beishil concerning peros shelo nigmaro malachton. These are fruits that haven't experienced their final stage in processing. Final stage is that which is kovel, which establishes that it now cannot be eaten unless tithes are removed. But peros that haven't reached that final stage yet, and they passed through Shalayim, they can still be redeemed. The Meiser Sheni of those fruits can still be redeemed. In other words, the sanctity that the Meiser Sheni tithe possesses can be transferred to money, and the fruits can be eaten wherever. And the chiddush here is even though it was already in Yerushalayim, v'alma nechleku, when would there be a machlokes? Al perus shenigmaro malachton v'avru b'Yerushalayim, fruits that went through, that already experienced their final stage in production and preparation, and were brought into Yerushalayim, sh'v'sham ayomrim, yachzir maiser sheni shalom v'yochab Yerushalayim. The maiser sheni of those fruits must be brought back to Yerushalayim and eaten there. Even though it passed through Shalayim in its final stage of production, those fruits, even though, they, as we said, they went through Shalayim and then were subsequently taken out, you can still redeem them and eat the fruits themselves wherever you want. Now, if you were to argue that the untithed tithes are viewed as if they have already been separated, well, hal kaltuhu mechitzos, they have already been absorbed within the walls, and as such, we know from previous sugyas that Meister Sheni, once it's brought into Yerushalayim, can no longer be redeemed. So, by the fact that he says Beis Hillel, and this is under the name of Rabbi Yossi, and that's why if you focus on the dashed underlinings, you'll see Rabbi Yossi, and also this expression, Yifteh V'yocha B'chol Mokom, this indicates that the fact that there's still a chance to be Podeh, that there was not Klitas Mechitzas, and that's because the Meister Sheni had not been separated yet, and therefore Matanos Shelo Hurmu are not Kemi Shehurmu. The Gemara answers, Omar Rabo, Mechitza Le'echol equals Doraisa. In order to eat Meister Sheni, you need to have Mechitzas. You need to have the walls of Yerushalayim. In other words, Midoraisa, you cannot eat Meister Sheni outside Yerushalayim. That's a din Doraisa. Mechitza Liklod equals Dorabonan. The halacha that we've been dealing with till now, that the mechitzos, the walls of Yerushalayim, absorb, meaning that once something is brought in, it can no longer be redeemed, that halacha is the Rabbanan. That's rabbinic. V'chigozer Rabbanan, when did the Rabbanan impose their ruling, that this concept of mechitza liklot, ki isei be'enei, that's when the tithe is separate, is isolated, it's on its own. However, betivle lo gozer rabbonon, but in a tevel state, namely in a non-tithed state, the rabbonon did not impose their ruling of mechitza likloit, and hence, if it was brought in to Yerushalayim in a tevel state, if it's subsequently removed, we don't say that it's locked in to the mechitzos, and therefore it can still be redeemed. So that as far as the halacha of eating, if something was brought into Yerushalayim in a tevel state and then brought out, the eating would be forbidden, because we can say matanos shelohumu kamishuhumu dami. But as far as restrictions concerning the redemption, that doesn't apply. You'll notice with the markings, we now have a semicolon, and Ravina is listed as number 2. This is designed to draw our attention to where did we see the number 1. We saw that on the upper part of this omid, at the point at which the Gemara had asked, "I hochi mai lemeimra." We featured a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, who said that Meister Sheni is guilty of lashes only if it was brought into Yerushalayim and subsequently brought out. We then brought a source that seemed to indicate that even if it was never brought in, there would be a penalty of lashes for eating it. The Gemara then answered, well, that source is talking about a case that it was brought in and then subsequently taken out. To that, the Gemara asked, well, that's obvious. That doesn't have any novelty value, any chidush value. To this, Ravina comes in and says, Ravina Omar kagon dinokit le bekanya. The Meiser Sheni that we're talking about in that source is on a stick that's being supported on this man's shoulder, where you have a person who, the person himself has the food on a long stick, at the end of the long stick, where the person himself entered the city, the package that's wrapped at the end of the long stick containing the produce is still physically outside the city. And we're saying that even so, it's considered as if it's raw penei choyma. And as a result of that, then it's considered as if it's really in Yerushalayim. V'tifshot bayo de Rav Papa, the Gemara concludes, and says, and with that, we should be able to conclude Rav Papa's question. He was featured on Yud Tes Amid Beis. You'll notice with the markings, you have an arrow and a Yud Tes Amid Beis indicator. That means go back to Yud Tes Amid Beis, or scroll back, and find a parallel arrow also on the right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you'll see that on the lower part of the page. You'll in fact see Rav Papa's name has been circled. There he raised the question, how do we view the issue of the person inside the walls with a stick on his shoulder and the package tied to the end of the stick still outside Yerushalayim? And from this we would conclude, even though it's not slung over, the package of produce is not slung over his shoulder literally, but it's on a stick, it's considered the same thing. And namely, it's as if it's inside the city. The Mishnah. HaKoreach Korcho Barosho. We're now going to see a list of more averos that result in lashes. One who creates baldness on his head. We'll see how many hairs have to be removed in order for this to be transgressed. V'amakif Pa'as Rosho. One who shaves around his head. We'll see more details of that later. V'amashchis pa'as zekono. This has to do with razor shaving one's beard. V'asoreit srito achas al hames chayav. And a person who, in a state of anguish over the death of some individual, he scratches himself, he is guilty and chayav malchus. Sorad srito achas al chamisha mesim. Let us say if, unfortunately, five people died, and as a result of that, he expressed his anguish by scratching one scratch over the five deaths, chomesh sritos al meis echod, or five scratchings because of one death, chayav al kol achas vachas. In each one of these cases, there will be multiple violations. Earlier in the Mishnah, we mentioned hamakif pa'as rosho. So here the Mishnah elaborates, Al Horosh, when dealing with the Peos Horosh, the corners of the head, there are Shtayim, two of them, Achas Mikan, the Achas Mikan, one on the right-hand side of the head and the other on the left-hand side of the head. We haven't been more specific yet regarding that, but that's as far as the translation is concerned. Al HaZokon, the Mishnah mentioned Mashkus Pa'azikono. How many points on the face could, if razor shaved, could result, could cause penalty? Shtayim mikan v'shtayim mikan v'achas milamata. Two on one side of the face and two on the other side of the face, and a fifth point at the bottom of the face, the chin, if you will. Rabbi Lezer Omer, im nitlu kulon ke'achas. If all of these different points were removed in one shot, Einu chayav elo achas. He's only chayav one offense. Rabbi Lezer, as opposed to the Tanakama, feels that he's not chayav for each point separately, but they are all considered one offense. The Einu chayav ashit lenu bitar. According to the Tanakama, the violation is accomplished only if he shaves with a tar, a razor. Even if one uses these other hair-removing implements, or other implements, let us say, that he uses to remove the hair, he will be guilty. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source, and you can see all of the lines that are in a frame constitute this Tanaic source. The Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chof Aleph, says, Lo yikruchu, yochol afilu kereach, korach arba v'chamesh, krichois lo yechayav el achas. If I had just the words, Lo yikruchu, should I come to the conclusion that even if he does four or five of these balding actions, he would be chayav one, considered one offense? Talmud Lomar Korcha. The Pasuk actually says, Lo Yikruchu Korcha. says lo yikuchu korcho b'roisham. So the fact that the expression korcho appears after lo yikuchu, that tells me l'chayav al kol korcho v'korcho, that there is a separate guilt for each spot of baldness that the person does. B'roisham, that's also found in the pasuk ma tamalomar. What is this informing us? Lefi shenemar lo sisgoydudu v'lo isosimu korcho bein einechem l'meis. Since there's another pasuk in Devarim, we can point out right now that the pasuk in Vayikra addresses the Kohanim. The pasuk in Devarim addresses all of Klal Yisrael. So the pasuk in Devarim that also mentions Korcha, it mentions Lo Yochol Lo Yehei Chayov Elo Al Bein Hanayim Bilvad, because in the pasuk it mentions Korcha Bein Einechem. Maybe the prohibition of korcha, of creating bald spots on the head, is only in that area that's between the eyes. In other words, it doesn't cover the whole head. Minayin l'rabois kol harosh, from where do I know to include as being liable to violation the entire head? Talmud lomar b'roisham l'rabois kol harosh. So the word b'roisham appears in the Vayikra Chof Aleph Pasuk. And that includes that korcha, ripping out hairs over the demise of some individual out of anguish, that Baroshim indicates it creates liability over any hair removed over the whole head. From this I would say that the prohibition of removing hair from any part of the head that creates liability, that is limited to the Kohanim. Kohanim, we know, are a group of people that have extra mitzvos, extra restrictions that apply to them than the rest of Klal Yisrael. So, hence, there's greater liability that applies to Kohanim. So, I might have thought. Yisrael minayin, how about including all of Yisrael with regard to l'rabbis kol harosh? The answer is as follows. Ne'emar kan korcho, ve'ne'emar lalan korcho. It says in Vayikra Chof Aleph and in Dvorim Yudalit the word korcho, ma lahalon, just like in Vayikra, chayav al kol korcho b'korcho, v'chayav al harosh kebein einayim, afkan chayav al kol korcho b'korcho, v'chayav al harosh kebein einayim. So just like we say in Vayikra, you have the individual aspect of it, lo yikuchu korcho, and you also have the word b'rosham, and from that we derive for each individual act of korcha, and we also derive for the that it covers the whole head, so too, just like it applies by the Kohanim, it applies to all of Yisrael as well. Uma lahalon alameis, and just like from the posuk in Devarim, we know that this prohibition is such only if it's done over the death of an individual as an expression of anguish, so too, the posuk in Vayikra is addressing the same situation, korcha, because of a death. The Gemara asks, "Hani dalid vehei krichos hechi gami." Notice we have an arrow here. This draws your attention to the arrow just above that mentioned arba v'chomesh krichos. What are the circumstances behind his having done multiple krichos? Before we go further, let's take note of our markings. Notice we have a mivneh note in the outside margin featuring the house form. The house form, just like any other geometric form in the marking system, indicates a series of related ideas. So we have, in our note, it says, HaKoreach dalet vei krichos chayav al kol echod ve'echod ma din ha'asros. We mentioned that he's chayav for each individual act of hair ripping. What is the halacha with regard to the warnings that need to accompany these offenses in order for us to talk about a lashing penalty? So the Gemara asks, once again, Hani dalet vei krichos hechidami, I lemo boze acharzeh. If we're talking about a case where he rips out actions one subsequent to the other, as opposed to a simultaneous action, ubechomesh hasros, and for each separate action he receives a separate warning, In other words, if he does five acts of hair ripping, and prior to each one there is a warning, pshita, that's obvious. It is obvious that he'll be chayav for each one. I don't need this particular source to tell me that he's chayav for each one if those are the circumstances. Ela, rather, b'chado hasra. We'll assume that he's doing five separate rippings out, and he received only one warning at the outset. Well, if that's the case, but he wouldn't be chayev multiple offenses. Mi mechayev, would he be chayev? V'hatnan. We have the following source that will show us that if there's only one warning and there are multiple actions, he's not chayev for each one. Nazir shoyse yayin kol hayoyim. A nazir, who is a person who accepted upon himself nazir status, which entails restriction from wine drinking. Imagine a nazir, like a nazir, who drinks wine all day. Eino chayev elo achas. He's chayev only one. In other words, he would have received a warning at the beginning of his drinking experience, even though he drank many cups of wine. Since there was only one warning, there's only one set of malchus. Omrulo, however, if they told him, those who were watching him said, al tishteh, don't drink, and then he drank. And again, they warned him, don't drink, and then he drank. And after each warning, he drinks. Chayav alkol, achas v'achas. That would result in a penalty for each act of drinking. So we can't say it's chado hasra, because we're describing a source that says he's chayav for each korcha v'korcha. Lo yitzricha, what is the case? Well, it's necessary to be taught. Desoch chomesh etzba'is of nosha. The nazir. Well, let's correct ourselves. The case featured in the brisa with the for prohibition of korcha, lo yikruchu korcha, and we said he's chayav on each act of baldness. He smeared a nosha, a depilatory, a substance that causes hair removal, and he smeared this substance on each one of his five fingers, v'osvinu b'bas achas, and he placed his fingers, five of them, at one time, simultaneously, on his head, and received a warning prior to placing his fingers with this depilatory on his head. Davile hasro l'chol chado v'chado. The warning covers each finger individually. So for each finger, since there is in effect a warning for each one, he's chayav for each one separately. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice at the side a tatnose, a subtopic. The title of this section, Shi'ur Korcha, the amount of hair that would constitute balding. V'kama Shi'ur Korcha. We'll see a couple of opinions. Rav Huna Omer, Kedei Shi'ir'e Meirosho. Enough hair that would reveal his scalp. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Mishum Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Kegris. A gris shiur. A gris being a type of, it's a dimension associated with a type of bean. That bean size of balding, of hair removal, would result in malchus. Ketanoi. The issue is the subject of a machlokes tanoim. Kama shiur korcha. So the first opinion, some girsos have here, Reb Elozer ben Shamua, Omer, kigris. That would be like the opinion we saw in the name of Reb Yochanan. Acherim oimrim, kidei shiure meirosho. That would be the opinion expressed by Rav Huna, enough to reveal scalp. Omer Vira bar Chaviva, pligi bot chlosa tanoi. Rav Yehuda claims that there are three Tanaic opinions regarding the Shiur of Korcha. Chad Omer Kigris, the Chad Omer Kidei Shiur Meirosho, these two we've seen already, the Chad Omer Kishtei Cyrus, the balding that would involve the ripping out of two hairs. The Ika, there is another version, the Mapik Shtei Cyrus, Umayol Bechadosha, that takes out of this list of Tanoim the opinion that said Shtei Cyrus, and instead of Shtei Cyrus, he says Bechadosha, the size of an Adosha, sometimes translated as a lentil. v'simonech, and in order to remember that the one shita that we removed and replaced is a reference to the shita of the shtei sairos and not the replacement of the opinion that said gris. In order to remember that, there's a mishnah in Maseches Negoim that says baheres kigris umichyo bechadosha. And by remembering that mishnah, one will remember that the gris shiur remains. That's not being tampered with, and the adosha is the new shiur, which is replacing the shiur of shtei sairos. Rashi explains how this siman, this memory device operates in greater detail. But for our purposes, we've explained that the purpose of the siman was simply to make it clear that when you remind yourself of the three shitas, you will know that there is a second version regarding whether to include the shtei sairos, or alternatively, say instead of shtei sairos, say his opinion would be ka'adosha. Tana, hanotel maloi pi hazug v'shabes chayav. One who removes a scissor full of hair on Shabbos is guilty. It would be over one of the meleches. Shabbos, meleches gozes, melacha of shearing. V'kama melo pi hazug, how much is a scissor full? Omar Rav Yehuda, shtayim, two hairs. So the shiur, the amount that would result in a Shabbos violation would be two hairs. The Hotanya, but we have another Tanaic source that says Lekorcha Shtayim, that the shiur of two hairs is associated with the Isser of Korcha, our topic of creating baldness, implying that the shiur of Shtei Saras is for Korcha, not for Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, Emo V'chein Lekorcha Shtayim, not only for, as far as violation of Hilchas Shabbos is concerned, is two hairs culpable, but also with regard to the Isser of Korcha. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Tanaic source that supports the idea that Melo Pi Hazug is a reference to two hairs. The source says, Hanota Melo Pi Hazug B'Shabbos Chayev, V'kama Melo Pi Hazug Shtayim. What we've done with our markings, we've dashed, underlined Shtayim. This supports Rav Yehuda, who was an Amora, who explained the Mishnah that said Melo Pi Hazug. So here you have a Brisa that has both expressions, Melo Pi Hazug, and explaining it as two hairs, just like Rav Yehuda. Rav Elezer Omer Achas. According to Rav Elezer, the Chiyuv of Shabbos is accomplished or is violated even with the removal of one hair. Umoidim Chachomel Rav Elezer. The Chachamim will concede to Rebbe Elazar that there is guilt even for the removal of one hair on Shabbos. B'malakeit levonos mitoch shchoros, afilu achas, shehu chayav. If a man has hair on his head, and the aging process is starting to show its signs by the appearance of a white hair, and because he is upset with the appearance of the white hair amongst his black hairs, if he removes the singular white hair, that would be considered a Shabbos violation, even though it's one. And this is something even the Chachamim agree with. V'dover zeh, the removal of a white hair amongst the black hairs to create the appearance that he has only black hairs, afilu b'chol osur, even during the weekdays, is a forbidden act for a man to do, for a male to do. Mishum shenemar lo yilbash gever simlas isha. The pasuk warns males, men, not to wear the garments of women, and we see from here that the concept or the concept expressed by this pasuk of lo yilbash is expanded to something beyond the actual wearing of clothing, but any pattern of behavior that is characteristic of a woman, that type of behavior for a man to do would fall under this prohibition of lo yilbash gever simas isha. V'hamakif pa'as roshoy v'chulei. Tonu rabbanon, pa'as roshoy equals soif roshoy. The prohibition expressed in the posuk that mentions Lo Sakifu Pas Roshchem is a reference to the removal of the hair at the end of the head. Now, the Esu Sof Roshel, what does that mean, the end of the head? Ze Hamashvitz Dov La'achore Ozno Olupa Dachtoi. The Tzdov is a reference to a person's temples. The problem here is, or the violation is accomplished when one makes his temples, which usually have hair growing on it, but he makes them similar to the space on his head, right behind his ears. A person immediately behind the ear, there is no hair that grows. Likewise, on one's forehead, there is no hair that grows. So the problem, the violation or the prohibition here is one who makes his temples like his forehead and the back of his ear. Namely, he basically would be shaving his head all around, leaving a crop of hair on the top. Tani Tano Kamed Rav Chisda. Echor Hamakif Ve'echor Hanikaf Loike. The Braisa says that not that whether it be the person doing the action of removing the pa'as roisho, the makif literally means to shave around, like the word hakofis. Many of you are familiar with that expression from Simchas Torah, where we do hakofis, or lulav and esrog. We go around the shul with the Sefer Torah, with the lulav and esrog. Here he goes around the head, shaving the hair off the temples, leaving only the hair on the top of his head, not the hair on the sides that grows on his temples. Not only is the one that does the action guilty, but also the one who receives the action. That's what it says, Ve'echor ha'nikif loke. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a tat no se note on the side, a sub-category, a sub-topic. Gimel hezberim lahazbir ha dekotoni degam ha'nikif loke. We're going to see three explanations to explain what does that mean, that even the passive individual, the one who is receiving it, receiving this type of haircut, that what does it mean that he too is guilty and will receive a penalty of lashing? The Gemara, after hearing this, Rav Chisda, after hearing this source, Rav Chisda asks, Omar Lei, Manda Ochil Tamri Ba'arbilo Loki. What we just read, you should realize, is an expression. Literally, we can translate it. It says, one who eats dates out of a sifter, should he receive malkos? Essentially meaning, someone who did nothing wrong, why should he be lashed? The nikif in this case, why is he chayev? It's a lav she'en bo imaisa. If there's a lav taking place, but as far as he is concerned, lav is a negative precept, is being violated, but as far as he is concerned, he is doing it without any action. And we generally hold that lav she'en bo imaisa ain loiken alav. So why does it say loke? Why does it say gets lashes? Notice as you scan ahead in the Gemara, we've numbered off three. One, two, and three. As we mentioned in our introductory remarks, three hezberim regarding that the nikif is also loke. The Omar loch, money. He whoever asks you about this source, he asks, who is the teacher of this? Who is the author of this? The answer will be Rabbi Yehuda he. The Omar, this is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says, Lav shein bo imaisa loiken olav. A negative precept that's violated without through non-action. Nevertheless, there is Malkus. Number two, Rava Omer, b'makif la'atzmo v'divrei hakol. This source is featuring a person who is serving, who is cutting his own hair. So he is also the makif, and he is also the nikif. But as far as lav shein bo maisa, there is a maisa. He's doing the action. The receiver of the action is himself doing it. So he is chayav, and this will be in accordance to all opinions, not just Rabbi Yehuda. Number three, Rav Ashi Omer, b'misayeya v'divrei hakol. This is a case where the one receiving this haircut, this prohibited haircut, is helping the barber, is helping the one doing the cutting. He is moving his hairs over toward the direction of the barber who is currently cutting his hair. So he helps in moving the hairs, hence it's no longer an issue of lav she'en bo maisa, because there is a maisa here. V'mashchis pa'as zekono. Tano rabbonon. Pa'as zekono equals sof zekono. The prohibition here is a reference to the beard, the end of his beard. Vezu sof zakono. What is meant by the end of his beard? Shiboles zakono. The word shiboles zakono is, for our purposes, best left untranslated. Let us simply say that according to most of the Meforshim, Shibola Zekona will include areas associated with the lower jaw of an individual, with a person's jaw. It's a lower jaw, but it means the jaw, the lower part of one's face. There are a number of opinions. Let's continue in the Gemara for the time being. On Daf Chof Aleph, Amud Aleph, there will be a further reference to this particular offense of Pa'as Zekonoi. V'mesoreit Srito Achas V'chulei. Tonu Rabbonon. The Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chof Ches, says, and we've included this Pasuk on the side, V'seret L'nofesh Lo Nefesh Lo Titnu B'vsarchem U'ksuvas Kaka Lo Sitnu Bochem Ani Hashem. Tana Rabbanan, the Tanaic source says, Veseret, Yochol Afilu Sarat al Besa Shenofal, Veal Sfinoso Shetova Bayam. Is there a Torah prohibition for one who scratches out of anguish concerning the collapse of his house or his boat that sank at sea? We'll call this in general for expressions of anguish over financial loss. Talmud Lomar Lo Nefesh. The Pasuk says specifically over life, over the loss of life. Eino Chayov Elo Al Hames Bilvad. This tells us that the violation is accomplished only, is, or the violation is violated only over the death of an individual. In other words, someone out of anguish concerning someone's demise, he then scratches himself out of grief. Uminayin lemesore chomesh sritos almeis echot shu chayav al kol echos viachas. From where would we know that if a person scratches himself five times over the death of one person, one person died, and out of grief, the person scratched himself five times, that results in a separate liability for each scratch? Talmud Lomar Voseret L'chayev al kol srita v'srita. The word in its singular form indicates that each seret is considered a separate violation. Rabbi Yossi Omer Minayin l'misaret srita achas al chamisha mesim shu chayev al kol achas v'achas. From where do we know that if a person, upon hearing the death of five people, scratches himself one scratch, that even though it's one scratch, it nevertheless it constitutes five violations? Talmud Lomar Lo Nefesh L'chayev Al Kol Nefesh V'Nefesh. The Gemara asks, V'afiktei L'beisa Shenofel U'Sfinosa Shetova Bayam. How can you use the word lo nefesh to tell me that there's a separate chiyuv per death, when the same pasuk was already used to preclude or just to exclude from this avera the issue of scratching over financial loss? This was mentioned, by the way, in the earlier part of the source. You can see with the arrows that where it was found above. So the question then is it not so that Lo Nefesh is already used up for the previous drasha? The Gemara answers, Kosova Rabbi Yossi, who's featured here at the end of the source, that mentions that there's a chiyuv for each nefesh, for each one scratch over five deaths, is chayev individually. So this is that section of the source featured Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara points out, Kosov Rabbi Yossi, Srita Ugdida Achas Hi. The actions that of Srita, which we saw featured in Vayikra Yutes, Veseret Lenefesh, and the action known as gidida, which is a posuk that's in a different location. Losis goydidu, velosisimu korcho beinecha lemeis. This is a posuk that we saw referred to earlier in the Gemara, Dvarim Perek Yudalit, that these two actions are one in the same. Namely, that whether one does it with one's hand or one does it with a vessel, he will be in violation of two offenses. The posuk in Vayikra, and he'll be in violation of the posuk in Dvarim. And the posuk in Dvarim, Uksiv Hasam, by Gedida, it says Lemes. It says over death. So as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, he does not need the word lanefesh to preclude financial loss. Because as far as that is concerned, as far as this point that the violation of Srita is only in the case of death as opposed to financial loss, he learns that from the pasuk in Devarim, thereby freeing up the lanefesh pasuk to tell me that one is chayav for each death, even in the event that he did one scratch. He did one scratch for multiple people, multiple deaths. He's chayav for each one separately. So we don't have the problem of Rabbi Yossi using one word for two separate drushes. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.